welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 177, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast going. With me today on Wednesday instead of Tuesday is my co-host Derek. What's up, Derek?
What's up, Bob? How's everybody doing this week?
It stopped raining today, so I'm kind of happy about that.
Well, we've had a couple of days without. It's very nice.
Yeah, yeah. Just like always, a tech podcast, we're talking about weather. Because it would rain so much, we got some gaming in, got some other stuff, got to play with some cool review items, got to do all kinds of stuff inside. So
nice. And we're like starting to count down to Computex here. So
yeah, it's what, 2 weeks out, I think. Yeah.
A little less than 2 weeks even? Or maybe, because David posted that 10 days to go thing, so.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah. It kind of comes up on you, and it's kind of like right now, even though we actually do have some announcements this week for some pretty big players, yeah. As far as like component side of things, cases and all that, like it's been pretty quiet. It's
been extremely
right?
quiet.
The past like couple weeks, actually more or less past month, it's been pretty quiet. And you know, Computex comes and you'll have a ton of announcements, especially since like over the past couple years, companies have evolved into selling everything. Like Gigabyte literally sells everything now. Corsair, you have everything.
It actually, I feel like it makes it a little more difficult for us to cover because there's just like, and do you want to see this part of our line and this part of our line and this part of our line? Oh yeah, I guess. Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean like, yeah, Cooler Master has everything now. I mean, there's just so much. So I'm really excited for the show. Obviously, the big thing will be the AMD announcement. That's pretty much what everybody's looking forward to, which means we should see a ton of X570 motherboards be announced at the show. Yeah. That's like my thing. I love motherboards, so I'm pretty excited for that. But let's jump into what we have this week, and we'll start off with our reviews. And the first one is of a CPU cooler. It is the Noctua NHU12A. It's their brand new, I don't know if you want to call it flagship, but it's basically their brand new tower cooler, giving you a ton of performance in a 120 millimeter size. So this is a single tower cooler with dual 120 millimeter fans. It actually uses Noctua's brand new fans. They're the NF-A12 X25. They have a ton of new technologies on these fans. A lot of people, you know, when it comes to CPU coolers, you could like overlook the fan, right? But Noctua has really put a lot into these fans to make them quieter, to make them, you know, push more air and be higher performance, all of that stuff into this cooler. And the cooler is not big. That's what I was really surprised with. It's not, you know, we know Noctua, we think of Noctua, we think big ass coolers.
Like this, the original thing is a big cooler.
Yeah, this is very small. You have 100% clearance on your memory, as well as, you know, VRM heat sinks, as well as your graphics card. No problems at all. Installation takes 5 minutes. It's so easy. It's not a small cooler by any means, but it's not a big cooler either. So, I mean, the installation is just so simple. They provide the screwdriver for you too, which is always nice. And it's our best performing air cooler on our AM4 system.
Not really a surprise.
It's just that good. It's extremely quiet. It can handle anything from, you know, low end to the high end. The only thing it's not made for is TR4, which there's not a ton of CPU coolers, and Noctua has their own for TR4, right. But everything else, you know, from Intel high-end desktop all the way to, you know, we tested on AM4, like our 2700X, no problem. And it's great. And it's just awesome. The only thing that's not awesome about it is, of course, the price. And the price is $100. It's $99, which is on the extreme high end when it comes to air coolers. I don't know. You know, when you think about it, you can get a 240 millimeter AIO for that price. Yeah. This, I would say, performance-wise, competes with that.
Yeah.
By a lot. So I think it's what you want, right? And all intents and purposes, this is going to be easier to install than a 240 AIO. You have to install the fans on the radiator. You have to mount the radiator. Then you have to mount the CPU block on an AIO.
You have to deal with the big cooler. I mean, you got to mount the fans on it, and then you got to.
Yeah, but the fan mounting is clips. It's so easy.
Sometimes that's a real pain.
Fan clips are either done well or done horribly bad. Like, I've had coolers where, like, I've cut my hand on the heatsink because the clips were so bad. But no, this just clips in. Like, they've done everything on this so good. Literally takes 5 minutes to install. Like, you take the two fans off, you put the bracket on. This can be done inside of a case, no problem. We of course use a test bench, but I could do this inside of a case, no problem at all. You place it on there, you tighten it, you put the fans back on. Like, it's that easy. So I just think that if you are in the air cooling realm and that's what you want to go with, and if you're not sure about an AIO, and again, at least with this, installation is going to be a little bit harder, I think this is a solid choice. It's quiet. It's not overly loud. You know what you're going to get out of the box. It's not going to... not that AIOs have problems with leakage and breaking, but they're more they're more prone to break than, say, just a heatsink, because heatsink's a piece of metal, more or less.
And eventually the liquid inside your AIO is going to evaporate. So,
yeah. So I think, like I said, this is good. It's just, you know, when you think of an air cooler and you see the price, you're like, it's kind of, you know.
It's out there. It's definitely out there. I'd like to see it pitted actually directly against some AIOs, because that's kind of the space that it's moved into there, because that's not air cooler pricing by any means. I can't see. I suppose people will. Noctua has a pretty strong following of people that's just what they want, but that's just too much for most people. Like, you get an air cooler based on price, I would say, for usually.
Yeah, I think. Because
it's bulky and it kind of clogs up your system.
And I think that, you know, people spending $100 would rather go the AIO route.
Yeah,
I think it ends
up with a cleaner look, usually.
A cleaner look. I mean, Noctua has never done anything flashy, but some, you know, you're going to get some lights on them too. I don't disagree with the price. I just think that if you're a certain person, you're going to get this. If you're another person, you're going to get an AIO. Yeah. That's kind of what it comes down to. But I really like it. I mean, I was really surprised at how easy installation was, like everything, how quiet it is, even like under full load, it's not loud at all.
Yeah.
It's just a great cooler. And it's, I mean, when I was talking, we were talking about this before, I was telling you about how I got it and it was $100 and you're like, well, it better live up to the Noctua name. And it does performance wise and everything like that. And I think that, you know, over time, Noctua deserves to have a premium price attached to its products. I don't think there's been a bad Noctua product when it comes to their CPU coolers. I really don't.
I can't think of one. I mean, yeah, they've gotten beat in some situations, but they don't make a bad product though.
I think they deserve somewhat of a premium on pricing too. Reviewing air coolers, you can't, especially like some of the Cooler Master ones, you know, the mounting system, it's been the same. They haven't changed it. It's patented. It's so easy.
I mean, it just works.
And it's always worked on, you know, this isn't the largest cooler, but on their larger coolers, it's the same thing. It works. It's simple. You don't have to try to get under the cooler or anything like that. It just works. And I think that they've taken the time to realize that installing a CPU cooler, especially a larger one, it can be a pain in the ass, and they've made it so simple. So check out the review. Like I said, it's our best performing cooler. It is $100, but I think that it's going to be well worth the price if you're looking for an air cooler. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And the second product we took a look at this week is from NZXT, and it's their Hue 2 Ambient RGB lighting kit. And this is lighting kit that is made for the back of your monitor. So basically, it's a kit with a controller that you attach to the back of your monitor, and it supports pretty much all sizes. I got the kits. There's two kits. There's let me find them here. There is one kit made for 21 and 25 inch and 34 and 35 inch displays, and one kit for 26 to 32 inch displays. So of course I got the one for 34 to 35 inch because I have an ultra wide. And basically these are RGB strips that go on the back of your display, and they have an integrated controller that you attach, of course, to the back of your monitor. You run the USB cable to your PC, and then you control the lighting via NZXT's cam software, which a lot of people hate. It's not horrible in my opinion. But the big thing with this is the ambient lighting. And what this does is in the software, it's pretty easy to calibrate all the RGB strips. And then what you do is you basically do nothing. There's nothing else to do. And the RGB lighting on the back of the monitor will react to what's going on the front of your monitor in real time, basically to give you a more immersive kind of experience, especially when it comes to movies and games. Yeah. And it works. It just works. Like, it's kind of awesome, actually. we have some examples of playing The Division 2. I also tested it with Apex Legends. It just works. There's no problems with it at all. You know, we even did an example where I had just like half of the screen on my background of my monitor and the other half with like a Chrome window open that's brighter, and you can see that the lights are brighter on one side than the other. Like, it just works. And besides cam, there's nothing else you have to install. You don't have to, you know, it doesn't not work with certain games, at least in my testing. It doesn't not work in certain apps. It just sees what's on your screen and displays that on the RGB the strips on the back of the monitor. The only concession with that is that it's reading your screen completely. So if you play a game in windowed mode, you know, where it doesn't stretch across your entire screen, then it's not going to illuminate as much. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, or if you're watching, say, like a movie that has the bars at the top, it's not going to illuminate that section. If that makes sense. But besides that, you have full software control, so you can, you know, set the, it's all addressable RGB, so you can set the strips to do whatever you want. They have a ton of effects. They're very bright. They look awesome. And as far as like installation, all the strips have it's 3M backing, but it's like the higher end stuff. This is like the version 2 of the kit. The first version had just, I guess, I don't even want to call it crappy backing, but just not as good. And over time, the strips would fall off, which is never good. And this version has kind of like angle RGB connections. So when you're going, you know, on your corners, you can make proper right angles for the strips and everything like that. It's worked out great for me. It adds a new dimension to your setup. I think the big thing with so many people, at least me, you know, besides what's in my PC, I want my desk to look clean. I want to have, you know, RGB lighting. I want it to look clean, and adding RGB lighting to the back of your monitor just kind of completes the whole look of everything for me. So I think this kit is a great way to do it. Also, you know, it's been shown that if you do have lighting behind your display, it reduces eye fatigue as well. So that's a plus too. Like I said, it just works. I like the ambient lighting mode. I'm kind of using it now. So, you know, I just kind of have it on like that by default. But all the other lighting modes are really good too. This kit is not cheap by any means. It is $109. You know, you can get RGB strips for your back of your monitor, just like plain ones that kind of do like a flow mode or something like that. Probably
$10
for 15, maybe $15 more or less, off eBay or something. They're not gonna look as good. They're not gonna have all the effects. They're not gonna have software control. They're not gonna be ARGB, which these are. So you won't be able to do like the crazy flow effects and things like that. So I think that, you know, it, what it comes down to when it comes to that price is like, would you rather put $100 into a better graphics card or something like that? Or do you want to make your setup look good? I think it's really what it comes down to.
I think it's more, to me, it would be, do I need this level of lighting? Do I need that controller? Do I just want some ambient light? Like, do I need it to be reactive or not? And I think that generally speaking, I'd buy a $20 kit.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for sure. You know, so this is just, like I said, when it comes to making that great setup, this is something just that's definitely going to help you. Off. Yeah. Yeah. It looks, like I said, it looks really good. It's really easy to set up too. It's not hard at all. You know, they like Cam automatically detects the strips. Like I didn't run into any issues with the software or anything like that either. So
that is one thing that I kind of don't like about the setup is that it does require you to use Cam, and that Cam has to be like actively sampling your display output. Then there's got to be some sort of a cost for that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it does it. You know what I mean?
It has to be sampling the output. Because you're not running like an HDMI or a DisplayPort into the box.
Yeah,
it's taking it from within, so it's getting in the somewhere driver level and pulling that data, which probably isn't super complicated. Really, but there has to be a cost for it, a performance cost.
Yeah, I like right now. Obviously, like we're recording the podcast, and I mean I have a 16-core CPU, so you know. But I mean Cam's right now is doing 0.2%, 0.1% now, CPU usage. Like we're recording this with Adobe Audition, that's doing 1.4%. Discord, which we were, you know, talking to each other on, is doing more than Cam right now. So I don't think it's like at a hit where it's like taking 30% CPU usage.
No, I wouldn't guess it would have, but small. Yeah. And then I would wonder, you know, it's going to take a small percentage of RAM, and then like in game, does that like, does it equate to a delay in the signal?
No, I can't. I mean, I've been using this for like 4 days now, and I haven't noticed any.
Have you had any like really low scoring games or anything where it might have?
I had a couple, but that wasn't the reason. But even looking at memory, I mean, Chrome is taking up the most memory, then Razer, Razer Manager Service, then Fnatic. Which is for a mouse that I don't even have installed. Anti-malware service executable, Creative Cloud, Discord, and then Cam, which is six or seven down.
Okay.
You know what I mean? As far as RAM usage. So I don't think it's going to take a hit where it's going to make a difference in your gameplay.
Okay.
At least on my system. I mean, my system might be an extreme example. I mean, I have 32 gigabytes of memory too, so I still don't. I mean, it's taking. I mean, Cam right now is using 190 megabytes, which isn't a lot.
No, it shouldn't be for most people. So
yeah. So I don't think it's that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how the tech behind as far as like how it's doing what it's doing.
How responsive is Cam then while you're like using it? Like, is it just as snappy as you would expect, or is there like the service is it just works. It just seems like a heavy thing. Maybe it's not.
I mean, maybe it's just like some type of driver or connected with. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know how they're doing it.
They probably aren't interested in sharing either.
Yeah. And that's what I was. That was my main thing, is like, because we've seen stuff like this that, you know, games will react, or you know, software and things will react to what's going on your screen, and we have seen it in cases where it taxes the system and it's not really worth it. Just like RTX, it's like kind of like, you know, it's but this just worked, and I was really surprised that one, it worked flawlessly within Cam, and people hate that program for a lot of reasons, and a lot of things just haven't worked, but it just, for me, it worked. No problem, out of the box, didn't have to do anything, didn't have to reinstall Cam, didn't have to, you know, any of that stuff.
The times that I've used Cam, I've actually been fine with it as well, so.
Yeah.
But I've never kept it on my system for long periods of time, so.
Yeah, I've always had it on the system because I have a Kraken for my CPU, and I have the RGB strips and I have RGB fans in the system. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm happy that it doesn't take a big hit as far as like system resources, and like I said, it just works. And you know, if it only work on one game, it's kind of stupid because you don't, you know, not everybody's gonna play that game. So there's all, you know,
yeah, no, it's much better the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like you can go in, like you'd have to go into the software, add the executable, download the settings, because a lot of like the RGB reactive stuff, that's how it works. You have to like find the executable, and then once you select the executable, it will download the settings for that game and all that
really
stuff.
Just, it's just a theme at that point.
Yeah. So this just works. Nice. It just works. I don't have to select the game I'm playing. I don't have to do anything. It works on the desktop. Like, you know, if I have something dark on one side of the screen, that side's dark. If I have something bright, that side's bright. If they're both bright, it's all, you know what I mean? And it matches colors. It does everything. It's a really cool kit. Like, I was actually surprised at how well it does the ambient and just how cool it is, actually, that like it's real. And there's no delay on it either. Like right now I'll maximize my Chrome screen and like instantaneously the lights change.
Nice.
And even right now, like I wish you guys could see this. I wish I had a camera, but like I'm moving the Chrome screen around and the lights are reacting as I'm moving it around, like instantaneously, which is really cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we'll probably do a video on it just to show you guys. Yeah. So definitely stay tuned for that, but definitely check out the review. Also, let me know what you think of my setup. I think it looks pretty good. I've added some new additions lately, some Razer speakers and some other stuff. And I've moved back to a Cherry MX Red Cooler Master keyboard, which I don't know if I'm off the blues completely, but it's Cherry MX Reds for right now. So definitely check all that stuff out. Check out the review. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday, which we, of course, feature a builder mod that's been completed. And we have a new builder, which I don't think we featured. I could be wrong, but I don't believe we featured him before. It's actually a custom builder who, you know, you would go to them and they built you a custom system. Mm-hmm. And it's called Declassified Systems. I believe they're out of the Philippines, but I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. I forget because I did this on last Thursday night before we posted it. But this is a really cool build. It's from the case is, I don't know if the company is called, I can't say that word, but it's a foreign case company, and this case is actually really cool. But the build itself is, of course, a hard tube build with just great lines. Again, I always talk about lines, but great lines. And one thing I really liked about it is if you look at the back panel of this case, the lines with the with all the cabling is so like symmetrical and just perfectly laid out and done. I really, really like that about this build. It's just clean. And of course, this is for a customer. This is customer build. So if I'm this customer, I'm definitely very, very satisfied with the way this looks, how awesome it is. And I would love to have this sitting on my desk for sure.
It looks great. Yeah. Especially like you're talking about the cabling on the back panel, on the back of the motherboard tray. Like, considering that they're using those Thermaltake controllers, like, and the fan wires from them, that's actually a total pain to try to get to look good. So the fact that they got that is, like, they know what they're doing. It looks good. The symmetry on the hard tubing is great. And, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. It's a kind of a wireframe case.
It's almost like the Thermaltake Core, like the Thermaltake Core series, so like the Core P5 and the Core P whatever.
But then it takes like cues from like Inwin's.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix between like the D frame, a better looking D frame, and a Thermaltake Core series. So I actually really like this case that he used. And like I said, the lines are really good. Vertical radiator there and all that. I like it. It's good. And like I said, it's just black and blue themed, which I think works. Mm-hmm. It's kind of reminds me of like a race car for some reason. Mm-hmm. Just like that color, I guess you would call it like a, I don't know what kind of blue that would be, but it just looks good. It looks great. And I really like, I love when builders and modders take the time to do the cable management correctly, whether it's doing it like this or making a custom channel for the cabling. It just shows that you're meticulous and that you want not only the show-off side, like where all your hardware is, but you want the backside to look just as good. And I think he's done a great job on this when it comes to that. So definitely check it out. We have their Facebook linked if you want to check them out. I like, again, most of you guys are listening in the United States, but if you are where these guys are located and you're looking for a custom PC, I would definitely hit them up because it looks like they do really good.
Do they do one-offs or is this like a orderable?
It's one-off. Okay. So it's like it's they're like a. They're not like a cyber power or like a system. What would you call them? Like a system integrator? Because it's like a fully custom, like here, this is my cost for building you this system type thing. It's not like we're a big company. You can go online. You can go online and order all these parts.
Custom PC.
Yeah.
Which you can actually do that from cyber power these days, but this is probably on a more detailed level.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So definitely check it out. Really cool build. And also, since last week was the beginning or part of the beginning of the month, that means we have Derek's favorite segment, which is the worst PC setups. And this is, of course, where we go out and a lot of people submit these as well. Just like real people who are either moving or disgusting or I did see that who are just a mess and their PC setup's a mess or they're doing what they can with what they have, which I think a lot of those ones are actually more interesting than the people who are really dirty. You know, or like kids coming home from college and they have like boxes to set up their PC on, stuff like that. But we feature, and there's this one, it's on the first page where it says, this is my workstation for the next 3 weeks. It looks like it's at his job. If that was my job and that was my workstation, I'd be very upset. because it looks like he's cramped in the corner. He doesn't even have enough room for his mouse, really.
Oh, what?
It's, imagine working at that for 3 weeks.
What?
You couldn't even, like, move your arms.
Yeah, get a new job.
Yeah, but it looks like he has the same keyboard and monitor as Jack, so.
So he's good for, like, some 1995 gaming. Sweet.
Yeah.
He could almost almost put the mouse on the other side of the tower and have more space.
Yeah, I know, right? But check these out. They're really funny. It's just cool to see what people do to, you know, like I said, if they're in the between moving, like to get their PC set up, or if you just want to feel better about like your PC setup. Not everybody has the greatest PC setup, but I'm sure yours is much better than a lot of these are. Yeah, we would hope. So definitely check out the post. And that brings us to our video of the week. And our video this week is a video review of the Cooler Master SK621. We did our written review last week, and we did our video review this week. And it's just this awesome little keyboard, 10 keyless, 60%. So it's much smaller. Yeah. And I think the video does much better justice at actually showing you how small, how low profile this is. Also, we have the typing test in the video, which, you know, everybody wants to know what the keyboard's going to sound like. Mm-hmm. So that's in the video as well. I had a lot of fun doing this one because it's just such a cool little sexy product and everything like that. So definitely check out the video. It's on our YouTube page. And of course, we will have the link in the show notes. And let's just jump into news this week. And, you know, Intel hasn't been really that exciting lately. And you're just like, you know, you're waiting for something positive to come out. Like, oh, we actually will hit 10 nanometer. But, you know, within the next 2 years or something. Yeah. And another security vulnerability has been found in Intel CPUs, which affect Ivy Bridge, Haswell, Skylake, and Kaby Lake processors. It's called the micro architectural data sampling. And we go into a little bit more detail of what the actual exploit is. And we can actually, there's video online of showing the exploit in real time and how it works. And it's kind of scary, actually. And this is just such a PR nightmare. We had Spectre and Meltdown. Now we have this, and it's just all over the internet now. And it's just like, while they've already put out a patch and BIOS updates and all this stuff, it's, you know, within like a day or a couple days or whatever, it's still just such bad PR.
Yeah, I mean, at least they responded this time. Last time was... Spectre Meltdown was much more disconcerting for them.
And the big thing with this is, like, this... A way to circumvent this is to turn off hyper-threading.
Seriously? Yeah,
turn off the... And, like, Intel suggested that. Like, how pissed off would you be to work at Intel? And, like, our biggest feature of our processors for the past 10 years is hyper-threading. Yeah. Turn it off.
Let me just cripple my system by 50% here real quick. And
it's
gone. what? I read that and I was like, that cannot possibly be your fix. Like, seriously?
8th and 9th gen core processors are not affected by this, which is good because you're running one and I am as well.
I have other systems not running those.
So it's just such bad PR, and it's just like, you kind of expect, honestly, to have these security issues. They are the biggest chip manufacturer, right?
Yeah, but this is sort of a business new thing.
Is it though? Maybe it just wasn't as big. Like, obviously, we don't know. Like, because maybe a lot of it was kind of done behind the scenes.
Yeah, whatever lab will figure it out. They'll tell them they'll fix it, and then you don't even hear anything.
Yeah, but I think that with social media and the internet, everything like that, this is, I don't know. It's just like one more thing against Intel when it comes to the processors, which has pretty much for the past 2 years has been a shit show since Ryzen, especially on the consumer side.
It's a mad scramble to be relevant.
Yeah. And this just is like, if you're a security person, like if you care about security, this is like another reason to not go the Intel route, I guess, maybe. I mean, even though it's older processors, but like it just gives you the peace of mind knowing that, like, I'm going to choose somebody else because you've had these security issues in the past.
Yeah, well, this comes sort... It's not right on the heels, but, like, it feels like it is right on the heels of Spectre and Meltdown. And it's like, well, okay, this happened quick. What next? To me, it seems like this attack vector has, like, kind of been publicized now. And so, like, other hackers that maybe weren't as ingenuous... as creative, have this idea now, and so they're developing it further and more technical, and so it's like, okay, is this side being secured, or is it just going to be vulnerability after vulnerability discovered?
Yeah, it's so. Oh man, but on this was announced, and then AMD said that they basically said their processors are unaffected. They didn't say it. They didn't say we 100% say they're not. But I'll read their statement, most of it. It says, "We believe our products are not susceptible." I can't even talk today. Yeah, I know. It's just one of those days. To fallout or RIDL because of the hardware protection checks in our architecture. We have not been able to demonstrate these exploits on AMD products and are unaware of others having done so. Basically saying that we can't replicate it on our chips. You're good.
Yeah.
Like if you're on AMD. And like, and again, this is another blow to Intel because AMD is saying that we don't have these problems.
Well, yeah, they're very much going to say that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's just wild. Thinking that like Intel is just having these problems after problems, and it's not even like it's just like, 9900K, while it was like the fastest processor, it wasn't great, especially when it came to thermals. Then I guess Spectre and Meltdown happened before that, and then you had 10 nanometer not being coming out anytime soon, which is a big hit, and then you have this security thing. It's like, where is the positive story for Intel?
Where's any positive story?
It's just not going good for them. They have addressed the issue very quickly, which is good. They've put out the fixes for it, but that just means that all the IT people are doing extra work now. But at least the response was much quicker this time, I would say, by them and everything like that. And so if you are running one of those architectures, which I will tell you again, are Ivy Bridge, Haswell, Skylake, and Kaby Lake, just be sure to either we have a website. It's for the MDS. It's called MDSattacks.com, and it will give you information and how you can fix everything and all that.
Can it tell people how much data they've had compromised?
I don't think, but I think it can actually test your system too. No kidding. And everything. It has all the white papers. It has everything. It has a whole timeline of like when it was discovered. Like, this is really good by all the researchers and everybody that's done this. There's a bunch of them, like University of Michigan in Computer Science, University Allendale, obviously Bitdefender, a bunch of people who have come together to put this together for consumers and everybody else about the exploit.
Cool, not cool.
Check your system. Check your system and make sure that you are secure and everything like that. And we'll move to some GPU news. One is kind of interesting, and it's a rumor, so take it with a grain of salt. Yeah. But we do have AMD Navi coming out, which more or less is going to attack the mainstream of NVIDIA. It's going to go through, I pretty much like 2070 and below, which obviously for us isn't super exciting, but if they can match performance and do a lower price point, that's good for consumers and it's good for AMD. So the latest rumor is that NVIDIA is going to do a refresh of their Turing cards, adding faster memory. So currently the 20 series has 14 gigabit GDDR6 memory. It will refresh or upgrade it to 16 gigabit per second, just to get that faster, whatever it may be, in games at the price point, saying that we're still faster or something. You know what I mean? Like that just, but the weird thing with me is like, you think refresh, you think of a new card naming, you think the 30 series, or you think like, you don't think like, what are they going to call these cards? You're just giving them better memory. Like, what are you going to call it? And I don't think you would call it like a 2070 Ti, because it's going to use the same GPU and it's not going to like have more.
It won't have. Yeah. It's just like, faster memory. It's not a, like Ti is a faster card. It's faster clocks. It's still the same. Yeah. It's still the same GPU, but still the same chip, but it's just faster and it's higher bend. Are they doing all that? Or do they name these like 2065s or come up with another
I could see the 65 honestly more than, because you're not going to call it a TI.
Go down into the alphabet, they'll just call it the STX 2060. I mean, why not? Yeah. We've got GTX and RTX now in the same series ish. Why not go ahead and throw a third in?
Yeah, so obviously this is rumors. You could totally see NVIDIA doing this, especially if AMD undercuts them with relative performance, right?
Which it sounds like they're going to from the leaks, like significantly. Yeah. Chop them with the price. So, are you really going to buy the faster memory version of this card of whatever card versus like the even nearly as fast but several $100 cheaper AMD version?
I'd buy the AMD version if it's the same.
So long as the drivers are solid,
within 5% performance. Yeah. If it's within 5% performance, I'm saving $200.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll buy two of these RGB lighting kits.
Yeah. Well, or like, that gets you pretty much on your way to buying another card.
Yeah, or like instead of an SSD, get an NVMe, or like
or substantially more memory. Yeah,
Yeah, instead of getting 16 gig kit, get a 32 gig kit. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's this is all rumors. I find it hard to believe that Nvidia will like make a weird change in naming, like you said, like a 10 era, like a 2065.
Just for a memory change. It's really not much of a I mean, it's a step up for sure, but like what performance difference is there really going to be?
Not a whole lot. So we'll keep you guys updated the more we hear on this. It's just I find it really weird, and I also find it too that like maybe Nvidia is scrambling. Like the 20 series hasn't done great. Their stock has not been great. RTX hasn't been adopted all that much. AMD has proven, at least on the CPU side, that they can put out a good product that's competitive. And with Navi, at least from everything that we've heard, it's going to be competitive in the GPU space, which they did on the CPU. So if they can do it and everything works out, which we've said we've wanted for a long time, Nvidia could be in somewhat of a trouble in the mainstream. And you have to think too, the mainstream is where they're going to sell most of their product. It isn't going to be the high end.
No.
You
convert fans with your high end though, which is why I find it a little bit odd that AMD is going with the mid range first, because that is where like you have the flagship part and people are like, oh my gosh, AMD, this new card, it's the fastest, it's the best, but I can't afford it. So then they buy the slightly slower, but you know, so that brings people on board with you. Not being able to say that you have the fastest card is disappointing.
Yeah, for sure. And we won't see that card till 2020 or 20. Was it 2020?
I think so. Yeah,
at least 2020.
Yeah, because we're not going to see these cards until late fall, right?
Yeah, September-ish, probably. By all accounts, but I don't know.
Talk about these things like they're facts.
Yeah. So, interesting rumor. We will definitely keep you guys up to date on it. And on the AMD front, which I've said all along for Navi, AMD has announced their next Horizon gaming event for E3 2019. So this will take part then. The date is June 10th, 3 p.m. Pacific time, so 6 p.m. Eastern time. You'll be able to watch it live on YouTube as well as Facebook, so they'll have a webcast. I believe this is where they will make the Navi announcements. I think Navi might be previewed at Computex, but it will be like, here's the system running. Stay tuned in a couple weeks, and we'll show you.
Kind of like what we saw.
We'll detail everything.
Yeah.
That's what I think. But I could be wrong.
I mean, the only other thing could be because AMD is putting parts in the new console, so we could be seeing some sort of a. I'm sure, actually, we will see something about that at E3.
I think we will, but again. Sony has said you won't see a new console till next year, so you're not going to see like an announcement of a new.
But they're going to want to talk about it, because that announcement, coupled with a couple other things, really drove their share price up pretty good. So
yeah. But I think the big thing will be Navi, and then obviously it's the console stuff, and probably they'll obviously talk about new 3000 series, which. By all accounts, will be launched at Computex, but they'll probably put that in there as well. Yeah. Just you know, and if you notice, the Z and Horizon on their thing, the part of it that looks like a 7 is
sneaky little AMD guys,
because everything's on 7 nanometer. Yeah. So I'd notice that. But yeah, stay tuned. That's coming up soon. You guys can obviously watch it. Eventually, when we get the actual links for the live streams, we'll put those on the site so you guys can go ahead, or we'll embed them in the site so you guys can just go ahead and watch very easily. Definitely stay tuned for that. And we got some laptop news, and sort of exciting. Yeah. I think the second one's more exciting for me, for like a use case for me, because I would actually use it. The second one, or the first one, I think I would. We'll tell you why once we get to that one. But the first one, a new gaming laptop was announced by HP. It is their Omen X2S, and they're saying it's the world's first dual-screen gaming laptop, which I guess is true. We've seen... I had a ThinkPad that had two screens.
Yeah, wasn't there... the screen actually flipped out?
Yeah, so I had a ThinkPad.
Is that what it... Okay.
Yeah, so that's not a gaming laptop. Oh. And then Razer had the triple laptop prototype.
Okay, yeah.
Triple screen prototype that actually got stolen at CES.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But this...
And Razer had the Razer phone thing.
This is almost like the Razer phone. But this is built into the laptop. So basically you have a normal gaming laptop, and then on the bottom part of the laptop where the keyboard is, right above it is a smaller screen. It's a 1080p screen. And it's not clear, at least in their press release, like what you can put on the screen. Yeah. It says, where did it say?
It looks like a 6 by 3 inch screen.
It's a 1080p screen that you can put like Twitch, Discord, things like that on. But you and I were talking about it earlier. It's facing down. And when I'm gaming, I'm not looking down.
Like at all.
A lot of people on Reddit called this a larger version of a Nintendo DS, if you think about it that way.
It is kind of a lot more buttons, but same thing.
I've always liked the idea of having another screen that has information on it that's important to me while I'm in game.
I don't mind that.
We've actually seen, the G15 had it. Rocket had the keyboard that had an app that you could run the app on your PC and it would put the relevant information, and that was tilted up so you could actually see it.
I mean, Apple has the MacBook Air. It's got the touch. That's essentially what this is. This is just not a strip.
Is it touch though?
Oh, if it's not touch, that's unbelievable.
Oh no, it is. It is.
It's like if it's not touch, that's unbelievable.
See, it says it lets players message friends in WhatsApp. I guess if I'm in game, especially on a laptop where you only have one screen, I don't want to tab out. I can just go down. Like I can click on the other screen.
But that takes you out of the game though. How do they keep your game from shifting focus?
I'd have to see this.
Yeah.
Right. And at the same time, I'd actually have to use it. Lot of these things are like, this is a gimmick.
It's a gimmick.
I
put my gimmick bucks on this one for sure.
Yeah. I just honestly don't see it as being important enough to pay the price. I think the base cost of this is like $3,000.
Are you serious?
Like the base one.
It's only a 17 inch laptop.
Yeah, but it has...
It better be a freaking nice screen. The main screen better be OLED.
Yeah, it's an i9, 5 gigahertz turbo, 32 gigabytes of RAM.
Whoa, what GPU? 2080?
It's NVIDIA. It's a G-Sync screen.
That is an expensive card.
Yeah. But I just don't see myself like using something that's by my keyboard down there. And that it's not even facing up towards me. Like, maybe if I could rotate that up, right? Like, have that section move up.
Yeah, like, if it like, on a camera where, like, a Sony camera or even... Yeah, no, basically just Sony cameras. It, like, pivots out, and then you could, like, pivot it out or pivot it up and then slide it up towards the screen. So, like, then you push the bottom edge up to the bottom edge of the screen or the top to the bottom. That would be maybe useful. But then you still like it still needs like a lot of clever programming to make it useful. Like, is that going to exist?
I don't know. Like I said, I'd have to see this in person and play with it to see if it works. It's a PR thing for sure. Like they're saying that they have the world's first dual screen gaming laptop. It's going to be it's cool tech. I think it's cool to have a secondary screen on my laptop. I think that's cool.
I think your use case for that is professional, useful. Though.
Yeah, I don't think it's useful. Yeah. The one thing, actually, it would replace, like a Stream Deck, if you could find an app that would go on the bottom screen that you could touch, like, you know, the Stream Deck, like changing my scenes and doing all the, and muting my mic and doing all that, on Elgato Stream Deck. This replaces the Elgato Stream Deck.
That would be useful.
If the, if there was an app that did all that, that you could put on that smaller screen.
Yeah. The other thing with that is this laptop powerful enough to game and stream and do all that at the same time?
Yeah.
So
I would say, it is. The i9 for sure, 32 gigabytes of RAM for sure. The graphics card, 2080 for sure. Because Ryan,
Ryan runs streams on the nasty.
He has a 580 and
some nasty AMD stuff.
Ugh. Yeah, so he's good. but yeah, so I think it's cool. It's more of a gimmick than anything. I don't see. And it's a PR thing because this is the official PC of the Overwatch League in their PR.
See, and I see a game like Overwatch as being like one of the least useful game types for this device. Like, really. Like, you probably should have teamed up with like World of Warcraft or something, honestly.
Yeah, a more MMO type game. But if we find any videos of somebody actually like using this, maybe we'll post them on the site or post them on social media to show you how well it works. But in the same type of, I wouldn't say same type of thing, Lenovo showed off the world's first foldable PC. So coming off of, I mean, it's much like the foldable phones, the Galaxy Fold.
Yeah. Much more likely to work, Huawei.
Yeah, this is a fully functional laptop that has a foldable screen. So basically, you can use it as a tablet and have a full screen, or you can fold it and put it in like a laptop mode where the bottom part of the screen would be like a keyboard.
What I hate about it.
Yeah, because I want like a, I want to feel keys.
If we're being honest, this is just a large, thick, foldable tablet.
But it is a PC, like it's a fully functional. But
how are you drawing the line? It doesn't. It's a single screen that covers the entire device. There's nothing really about this that makes it have to be a laptop and not a tablet. It's a foldable tablet. Honestly, it's a large, thick, heavy foldable tablet. I don't see this being something that. Dude, think of the fingerprints. And you know that typing on this thing is going to be a nightmare.
I don't think typing is going to be great on it. I would also be very interested to see a lot. They invited a lot of press to come check it out, and all the press said that the fold in the screen is it's not like the phone. The Samsung Galaxy Fold has had many issues with like there being a crease.
Yeah, you can actually see the crease in the fold. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no crease in this, they said, but it hasn't been used for an extended period of time. It's a prototype. It's a new product. So that's the thing that I'm interested in. I do like the idea of having a fully fledged PC. Like when I mean fully fledged PC, I mean like powerful enough to do what my Ultrabook already does.
Right? Yeah.
Which this does. This is a ThinkPad, you know.
Go on. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
That I can fold up to the size of a book. I like that idea. I hate the idea of there not being a physical keyboard for me.
So then I have to ask you. You like the size that it folds to.
Yes.
So what you really are in search of is a really small laptop.
Yeah. Like I have a 13-inch, and this is
13.3.
This is 13.3. Yeah.
So it's really not that small.
But the whole screen is 13.3.
Oh, correct. The, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The entire right.
So
screen.
It would
so
be
this
like
is
a
probably,
seven.
Yeah.
But like so that actually means that the usable space is really seven because. Other than, like, I don't even see how you can watch a movie on this thing, really. I guess you could stand it up like a tablet.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that you could use it in... Like, there's... You know, when you're typing and doing, like, productivity work, you would obviously have it folded in, like, a laptop mode. But when you're not, you just use it like a big screen, right?
I don't see... Like, so you're typing on glass.
So the feedback is awful. And not only that, it's tiny. Like, your hands are, like, touching. Because if it's only a 7-inch screen, you know, the bottom is only 7 inches across, then, like, that's not, the diagonal is not, that's not a large space at all.
Yeah. I like it. I, just like everything, I want to try
it. Well, yeah, of course, but.
I'm giving this the gimmick stamp
as well.
I like the foldable screen thing. It, on a device like this, I don't know about a phone. I like the foldable screen. I think we're so early in that tech, though, that obviously we saw it with the Galaxy Fold. There's tons of problems there. I assume this product will have similar problems because I don't think the tech's there yet for foldable
screens. So what I love the idea of a foldable screen, like you can just fold things up and save space, etc. What I don't think there yet is all of the other tech that like powers the screen, like the battery and the processor and the memory, like that all has to go somewhere, so it kind of negates the fact that you can fold the screen.
I agree.
So
yeah. But it's cool. I assume, I mean, it's a little far off, but I assume we'll see something like this at CES.
Lenovo, yeah, they'll probably have it. Well, yeah. Unless it just gets, like, shelved. So
yeah, it could get shelved, but they seem pretty excited about it.
With the money they probably spent on it, you're going to have to be.
yeah. So we'll have to see kind of how that all shapes up. But definitely, they have a little video, and we linked to the Verge article, and they were one of the... people who got to actually play with it, so don't really like to link the verse.
No, I was gonna say, what sort of video review can we expect to come from that?
Yeah, but it wasn't the same guy, so that's good.
He still works there, though. Which is crazy.
Yeah, which is surprising. On to kind of gaming stuff. The first thing is Logitech announced their G502 Lightspeed. This is the wireless version of their G502, which was regarded by a lot of people. I haven't even used it, the original, but one of the best gaming mice out there. The G502 is just like, it's from all the reviews that I've seen, it's an amazing mouse. And what they've done is they made it wireless. They have a 1MS wireless technology that's called it's called Power Play. And they also use wireless charging on this too.
Sweet.
Which is pretty cool.
Like that.
You know, and the thing is, the wireless technology as far as connectivity would have to be proprietary, just like the Corsairs.
Are you sure it's not just licensed to them, but from the same company that licensed it to Corsair?
I don't believe so.
Because that is the way this goes.
Yeah, that's very true. I don't believe so. I didn't really research that, and I don't even know if that would be made public.
No,
I'm
probably.
Yeah, but the wireless charging is proprietary as well, which is kind of a bummer, because you have to buy a Logitech PowerPlay wireless magnetic charging pad.
Oh, I have heard to of use this. With yeah, this. And it's separate and expensive.
Yeah.
Is it $100 for PowerPlay? Like, let me check. I believe that it is.
Yeah. So, which is, I mean, the Apple one was supposed to be that, but this can only work with Logitech devices, I believe.
Yeah. It's $100 for the mat. Yeah. I've heard it's very good, though.
I've heard good things as well. But I do like that, you know, Corsair did it.
Corsair's is $40.
Logitech is doing it with the sub 1MS or 1MS gaming mice. The biggest thing with mice is there's always been a latency issue. And when it comes to especially like really fast paced games, that's why a lot of people have always done wired. Mm-hmm. But in my testing, at least with the Corsair one, there was no lag or anything like that. And we're getting to the point where like maybe we won't have, we'll just have a couple dongles, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like that. I like that idea. But I also, I gotta ask you, when you play with a wired mouse, do you ever even notice the wire?
I don't.
I
for me, it's a cosmetic thing. Like, you know, I talked so much about like how like my desk setup.
Yeah.
If I have three wires, I have one for my mouse pad because my mouse pad has a wireless charger on it. For
which is unavoidable.
And I have one for my mouse. Yeah, I have one for my mouse, and I have one for my keyboard. If those wires weren't here, this setup would look so much better, in my opinion.
You know what I mean? Kind of. You get the lines. You get the lines straight, though, and it's another design
cue.
You
don't notice the wire. There's only been a couple of mice where, like, I've noticed the wire. I don't know if they were badly designed.
Yeah, usually if you have a stiff white cord coming off of it, you'd probably notice it.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I don't notice it at all. But yeah. I like the whole idea of wireless if there is no lag or anything like that. I would be interested to check this mouse out. It looks, I mean, like I said, when the G502 came out in 2014, it was like touted as the best gaming mouse to come out.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so really cool that they made it wireless. It's $150.
So if you want the whole shebang, $250 into your mouse.
Yeah, if you want the wireless charger.
What are you gonna not? I mean, let's be real.
Yeah, sure.
Very true. Otherwise, your mouse is gonna always be dead on you. That's the nightmare of going wireless.
I know.
So,
yeah, that is the problem with going wireless. So. I like it, and this is one of the few mice. Like, mice these days don't have, at least a lot of them don't have a weight system anymore.
I know
this one does. I know you're always a fan of the weight system.
Yep, I am. Yeah,
yeah. So this has weight system in it, so you can actually adjust the weight to your liking. Not like, you know, if you get a mouse, you're stuck with it as far as weight goes.
My Naga doesn't have it, and if I did have weights in this, I'd tell you I would be so much better at games.
Well, I don't know who would be the judge of that.
I like them. I like everybody's different, you know. You want to customize stuff to your own feel, so I think weight systems are great.
Yeah. Before our last gaming piece of news, we'll talk about crypto.
Yeah, it's poking its head back up.
And well, yeah, it's been on the rise. Yeah. And this hasn't stopped at this news story that came out last week. One of the biggest crypto exchange as far as volume, which is, I guess you call it Binance or Binance? Binance?
I say Binance, yes.
Yeah. Binance, it was hacked. 40 million was stolen in Bitcoin. And I don't think these are as bad just for the fact that, like, Binance had their, what is it called? They have a fund. Which covers this.
See, the funny thing is when you use Binance, it feels fairly sketchy. To me, it feels like, I'm like, this feels like it is black market trash.
Yeah.
But, like, apparently they know what they're doing.
Yeah. So the hack affected their hot wallet.
Okay.
And which contains about 2% of their total 2%? Holdings.
Holy cow, they got a lot of money.
You see that, like, it didn't affect us at all. It affected our hot wallet, which is only 2% of our holdings. So they took 41 million, which barely affected their hot wallet. So how much money is that hot wallet? But I'm trying to think. So it's all of the money is covered by Binance's Secure Asset Fund for users. Yeah. It's an emergency insurance fund that is set aside for such instant, like, you know, things like this that happen. So I think that.
No, you go ahead.
I think that these hacks, like, when crypto was really big last year and even before that, the hacks. People actually lost their money, and a lot of these exchanges got shut down because of these things, and it was just like, you're screwed.
Yeah, you had coins in one... What did you have in an exchange, right?
What was the... It was a mining thing, but I had them on the...
Like a mining exchange, and all that was gone. Right? Like to trade.
It was gone. Yeah. So I think now it's matured to a point where if you are on these exchanges, you're not, and if you're smart, like you have like the 2FA security, yeah. and you have multiple layers of security, which you should on any, like even on your bank's website. Like, you shouldn't just be able to log on with a password.
Yeah, we are finally getting to the point where 2FA is on like everything.
You should get a, like, use Google Authenticator mm-hmm. or have like something sent to your
phone. Yeah, must enter like a code, code every time. Yeah.
Yeah, every time you log in, like, if it's your money, you should be doing that. So I think we're to that point on these exchanges, and there are, if it does get hacked, which this, I mean, I assume their security was pretty good. I mean, it's one of the largest.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how this went down. Obviously, they're not releasing details on that, but I hadn't used my Binance account in a while, and so I went to go get back on it, and it's actually, it was fairly difficult. I still haven't gotten back into it, but I kind of gave up. I needed to use Google Authenticator, but I have a new phone, so apparently that's a whole thing.
That's a whole nother thing.
Which is good. That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's like to the point, and I haven't checked like what I mean, Bitcoin has gone up since this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's over $8,000 right now. And you know, over the past 2 weeks it's gone up significantly.
They're starting to call that it's going back up, but they're also saying this is just a false plateau and it's going to dip again before it actually goes back up. So
yeah, so but I think that when it comes to, like, you shouldn't be worried now if you're on an exchange,
right? But I still feel like you should still put your coins in a wallet, though. Like, if you're not actively using them, you should probably do that. If it's any significant amount of, if it's money that you can't afford to just have disappear, you should
just don't be dumb and do an offline wallet on a computer that you throw away, like a lot of people did.
Go get a Ledger.
Yeah, get a Ledger.
Ledger Nano has so many.
Get a hard drive. Yeah, get a hard drive and then put that hard drive in a safe or something.
Yeah, or I mean, you don't even need a hard drive. You can get, you know, flash drive.
Yeah,
like it's not a large file.
Yeah, flash drive or something. Like, yeah, and then our last piece of news for this week is that we will be getting a mobile version of Apex Legends.
I can play at work.
So kind of I can't imagine the mobile experience is going to be all that great, but obviously Fortnite did it, and that's what really made their explosion happen. I think when Fortnite launched on iOS, it made $15 million in the first month in in-app purchases, so cosmetic only. During the Electronic Arts earnings call, their CEO said that a mobile version of Apex Legends is in the works. This completely makes sense. If they're going to cash in on it, they need to cash in on it.
I don't see a negative in it. It won't be the same game, but who cares?
Yeah, and I don't think there will be cross-play.
I don't see that working out.
Yeah, I don't believe there'll be crossplay, but I think if you're a fan of the game, I mean, I played Fortnite mobile on a plane. It wasn't the best experience, but it was like something fun to do. But I mean, for kids in school and like when you're not at home, you know?
Well, when you're in school, you're supposed to be learning.
Nah, I don't need that. But yeah, I mean, it just makes sense for them to do this. We kind of all, everybody kind of expected it. There's just like a way to
just don't put them on my server.
It'd be good.
I don't need that kind of lag, dude. When you get a bad load, oh my goodness, it is harsh.
Yeah,
everybody's just skipping around.
We'll play. I'll play the mobile version just to play it. No word on when it's going to be released. What platforms? Obviously iOS and Android, but if it's going to go to one first or in the other, or launch at the same time, and all that. So we'll let you guys know as soon as we know. And that brings us to what we have coming up next week, and I'll be taking a look at, again, it's almost the same product. It is the WD Black SN750, but the first one that I reviewed came with or without the heatsink. This one comes with the heatsink, so that cool heatsink that was designed by EK. This one ships with it. Oh, cool. So there are two different versions. I believe it's a $30 difference. It should be performed the same as the other one, but obviously it's going to look,
but it's identical.
it's going to look much more sexy.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm excited to show you guys that. And then I'll also be taking a look at Corsair's Crystal Series 680X case. This is, you know, they did their 280X, which we reviewed last year and was an awesome case. This is the full version of that case. So the previous case was, I believe, micro ATX. This is full ATX. Huge case. It comes with three of their RGB fans, their ARGB fans that work with IQ. I believe it comes with a controller and everything like that. It's $250, which isn't cheap. It has three tempered glass panels, one on the front, one on the top, and one on the side. And they're calling this high airflow, but if you look at it, it can't be that high airflow.
Let's just go ahead and call it negative pressure.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited to take a look at that. I do like this. It's more of like a boxy case than like a tower because there's two different compartments, which I'm kind of a fan of as well. So.
Is that, I think of that as an old school design. Is it an old school design or?
I don't think.
Okay. I mean,
because they'd never really had two compartments, whereas like the back compartment has like the power supply and your drives, and the main compartment is just like your motherboard and graphics card.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I just always think of like Wan Lee with they had boxier cases and.
Yeah, I think that's an extreme example because that was kind of, I mean, those were more like boutique cases. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. So I guess that is what I'm thinking of, like the older boutique cases, because we don't really have many, if any, boutique case companies left. I mean, even Case Lab's closed. No. So
yeah so I kind of like that design too, because it just allows you to show off what you want to show off, which is, you know, typically your motherboard and your graphics card and your memory.
And it's great for thermals too, because you know, especially this design, because this puts your power supply into the back, totally put that in a different area along with your drives, and then put the other heat generating parts in the front and you're good to go.
Yep. Yeah, so excited to take a look at that. And of course, we did review the Fractal Design case, which is, I guess they would say these are competing because they're around the same price. They offer RGB fans, they're tempered glass, so we'll see which one I kind of prefer, which I'm kind of excited to see which one I do prefer, because I probably will be switching out my main system into one of the two cases. I'm not sure which one. So definitely stay tuned for that. And of course, coming to the end of the podcast, we talk about, you know, if we did anything tech related this week, if we, you know, got into anything, watched anything.
I watched a movie.
I know you've been watching Game of Thrones, of course.
I'm not even going to go there. it's a whole thing this last week. What
movie did you
watch? Glass. It came out in January of this year.
Yeah, I did see
that. So this was, the culmination of the two... Why am I blanking out on the two movies that it... Unbreakable and Split. So two movies that you had no idea were going to be a part of anything. It's a universe that M. Night Shyamalan has created. But this movie, Glass, it got, like... I was interested in it, and then it got the worst reviews. Like, it still only has a 37% on Rotten Tomatoes. And so I didn't watch it, but somebody lent it to us, so we watched it, and it's not that bad. I don't know how I got a 37. Like it. And I say it's not that bad only in light of the review score. I would say it's probably a 7 or 8 out of 10. It's pretty good. It's interesting. Better than I thought. So if you were on the fence on that, if you've seen the previous,
I haven't seen the other.
It won't have much of an impact on you if you don't see the other two.
Okay.
It'll be weird, I think, if you watch it by yourself.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll watch it.
Do you watch? You doing anything?
No, I didn't really watch anything.
Hockey.
I did. It's the playoffs. I'm still, even though the Penguins are out, I've been watching a lot of hockey. And we're the Eastern Conference Finals, so the hockey's really, really good. So if you're not even a fan of hockey, these games are amazing, so I would watch them. But besides that, I found a really cool app if you do play Apex Legends. it's called Athenascope, and basically you just install it. And that's why I like about this app is it's so easy, you don't have to do anything. You basically install it. you set, all you have to do is set your audio. So like, make sure you have your audio set up for your, if you want to record your mic and your system audio, like whatever you're using to, you know, for Apex, and it just records as you play and it will upload the whole thing. And then it will make the highlight reel for you. You don't have to go through your entire, like, you know, most people you have to go through your, oh, when was that kill? How did that happen?
Yeah, you almost
want to
take notes as you go.
Yeah, so if, especially if you're looking to make some type of video, this will, this records all, it will make a highlight reel of all your kills. It will, and it will cut those kills into individual cut, like just
segments,
you know, 10 second. Yeah. Like it will cut everything. It will cut all of your deaths as well. Every, like it's, and it's all done for you. Like you don't have to do anything. And it's not super taxing on your system. Like I just have it running. I have it running now. But it's obviously not recording anything, but I think it only works with Apex. I'm not sure if it works with anything else, but so far, I mean, just like, I don't really record things just, you know, but just if I have like an awesome kill, which I had the other day, like I could easily go back and download the clip and like put it on social media or share with friends or whatever. It's just, it's super simple. Nice. Yeah. And I saw it on a Facebook ad. That's how I found it.
Who knew? Who knew that Facebook could be useful?
Yeah, I know, right? So if you are, if you do play Apex and you want to just like, you don't have to do anything. Like you can just have it run when Windows runs. It doesn't, you know. It just works. Like it's just like the Hue 2 kit from NZXT. It just works. Like you don't have to do anything. Yeah. That's what I love about it, because I've, before when I played games like years ago, like, you know, you have to record the whole thing and then you have to go back and find it. And it's just like the time that it takes, whereas like this, it uploads and then it's like, we're processing your thing. And like 20 minutes later, it's like, we have made your highlights.
Nice. And it probably just takes really, the game, like the logs for when you get a kill. And then it knows to take those sections.
I don't know how it does it.
It probably isn't that complicated to program.
Yeah. They say it uses AI.
I mean, in a way,
that's what the Facebook ad said. It said AI created highlights or something. I forget
in the very loosest of terms.
Yeah, but it's cool. I like it. I don't know if it works with like Fortnite or anything else. I it's made to work with like the big battle royale games. So
okay,
whatever that may be. But yeah, check it out. Just I assume you just Google Athenoscope and it will come up. But that we'll go ahead and end things here, guys. As always, we will have our full show notes page that, you know, has everything that we talked about. So we'll have links, you know, to all the articles. You can go and read even more. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting app, website, whatever it may be, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.